Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now.
Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
So our guests today are Devon and Chris. And the way that they are a guest, my sister sent them the invitation. I also do know them, but they are good friends with my sister. And they have become good friends of our family. So thank you so much, Devon and Chris, for agreeing to be on the podcast.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
So to kick things off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Well, let's see. My name is Devon Fouché. I've been married to my wonderful husband, Chris, for almost 29 years. It'll be 29 years, June 11th. we have two wonderful daughters who aged almost 27 and 25. And let's see, I've homeschooled them. I now have, I'm homeschooling someone else and I have tutoring that I do. I just love life.
Okay. My name is Chris and I'm originally from Ohio. Devon's from Illinois originally. As I said, we've been together for 29 years. Well, I guess we'll get into this a little bit later, but we dated for 6.5 years before that. And so we have known each other
forever,
all of our adult lives. So, I'm a high school English teacher and I've been doing that for 30 years and enjoy working with the kids and also enjoy when I'm not at work as well, when I'm at home.
All righty. Awesome. So how did you guys meet?
Well, we have it's an interesting story. It's funny. I just talked to my best friend 2 days ago. And we actually met through him. So we were in college. I was at Morehouse College and Devon was at Spelman. And I was dating, well, quote unquote, dating someone from Birmingham. I was in a relationship and it didn't seem like it was really moving forward at all. After 2 or 3 months, but I had a car. And so I would take her and her friends to the mall and to the movies and, you know, out to dinner and that sort of thing. And so I remember one time I visited her at her dorm. So she went to Spelman also. And there was like this 8x10 picture of this guy. And so I asked, who's this? And she said, oh, that's just like my best friend back at home. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Well, it's okay. So a few weeks later, a friend of hers said, you know what? I should tell you, she has a boyfriend. I was like the picture of the guy. She's like, yeah, that's her boyfriend. I was like, what? So she's been using me just because I have a car? And she's like, yeah, I was like, okay, wow. So I really liked her. So I was pretty down. And so I went back to my dorm room and I was talking to my best friend. We actually grew up together. So we went to college together. So I was like, man, you know what? I'm just going to focus on school. I mean, I don't need to be out there trying to, you know, find the right woman and all that. And he's like, look, man, why don't you just describe the woman you want to meet? Well, he said the girl. He said, well, yeah, describe the girl you want to meet. And so, I was like, nah, nah, nah. He's like, nah, nah. He said, humor me. Just do it. Just do it. So we talked. And so I said, well, you know, okay, an ideal world. So she's, you know, she's got brown skin. She has like really straight teeth. She's got full lips. She's got kind of a deeper voice. And I went on with some other attributes. And so he said, okay, I'm going to find her. I was like, nah, nah, nah. So my boy, he believed in casting a wide net. So he would go out to parties and he would like get every phone number he could. And then back then we didn't have cell phones. This is, you know, it was back in the 80s. And so he'd be on the hall phone calling all these numbers, you know. And, you know, some of them would be wrong numbers. Some of them had only six digits, you know, some the local businesses, whatever. But every once in a while, he'd get a hit, you know. So he met this girl named Shara. And
Now I have to tell you, Shara was a friend of mine. And so I'm at Spelman Women's College. We, you know, 8-10 deep girls. It's a beautiful thing. And Shara was my friend who liked to cast a wide net. And but it's really easy to do at Spelman to cast a wide net because there are two or three or four times as many boys at Morehouse than there are at Spelman. So everybody dates. And by about this time, I had like boy overload. I was like, no more boys. I'm just over it. You're coming back from dinner. The phones are ringing everywhere. You have phones in the room. I mean, it's just like ding, 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 ding. Because they're like, we gotta get in first. And so she says, hey, Devon, I want you to meet this guy. And I'm like, Shara, no, I've just washed all of my underwear. It's kind of hanging in my room. I'm not going to meet this boy. And she's like, no, I really like him. But she has a boy a week. And I was like, I'm not going to do this. Please. I said, okay, you know what? I'm never going to see him again. Anyway, bring him on to my room. I don't care if he sees my underwear. And the first thing he does is he walks in and he says, I've got somebody I want you to meet. And I said, I bet you do now that you've seen all my underwear.
Now, he did not mention the underwear. He came back to the room that night, but he came back and he said, man, you'll never believe it. I've met her. I've seen her. And I was like, what? And he's like, remember you described, you know, he said from head to toe, I've met her. And they're coming to visit us. I was like, whoa, okay. I was like, whatever. I don't believe it. So you have to talk about when they...
Right. So Shara said, please, I want to go see him again. Will you just come visit his friend? I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. But I said, okay, you know what? Fine. I will walk over there with you and we will stay and be polite for 30 minutes. And then you two will walk me back. And I walked over there and so cute. I was like, oh, oops. It was the whole attraction was just physical. Honestly, it was horrible.
But when she walked in and said hello, I was like, oh my goodness. Are you serious? I mean, because it was the voice she had. I was like, what? It was bizarre. And so then we always say, and then 6 years later, we got married.
Actually, I think it was like seven.
It was about 7 years. Yes, yes. In a long engagement. So.
But we had a crazy meeting, which lots of people do in college, but it was very magical for me. I was like, whoa, I was truly swept off my feet by his appearance. I like hairy man. Chris was appearance. Had a full beard and mustache. He was just gorgeous.
My beard was, it was all black back then. Just by the way, so, she's older than I am.
I'm a year older. But anyway, that's beside the point, isn't it?
So shout out to your friends, though, first of all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So my, you know, he is the person. He's, of course, he's the best man at the wedding. And he is. He would drive down here. If we ever had some major issue, he would say, no, you all have to stay together. You have to. Because he has been like, I don't think they, did they even go out after that? I don't even think they even.
No, not once.
Yeah.
I don't think they saw each other ever again. It was like,
that was the only reason they were together.
So that we can meet.
We can invite her to the wedding. You know.
You didn't know. She left school. I didn't, you know, we didn't keep in touch.
And so maybe she'll hear this and she'll.
Yeah.
I mean, we thank you for your service if you're out there listening.
Yes.
We truly salute you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So after that first meeting, it was kind of like, okay, cool. Attraction at first sight. But how did things develop after that?
Well, like, you know, I think one of the things is I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I was at a college that is not historically, or it's not a Seventh-day Adventist school. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that I knew anyone who was. I think there's one boy who I knew, but other than that, and Chris is Catholic, or Chris was Catholic. And so that's a real big religious difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just kind of like young and having fun. I had no real intention of ever getting married. I did see myself having a child, not having a child, but adopting a little girl later in life, mm-hmm. and going on with life and career. But marriage was never really part of what I was looking for. But I really did. I like boys. And I really did. I mean, you know, I did. And I wanted to have... No, I mean, I wanted to have fun. You know, I was young. I wanted to enjoy my life and have companionship, hang out with my girls. I mean, 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was definitely not looking for a wife or, I mean, sort of a girlfriend, but not really, because I just didn't have a good track record with relationships. So, it was fun. And she was just so different because I had never even heard of a Seventh-day Adventist. So I was like, what are you again? Is that, I don't even know what that is. And then she started talking about, well, you know, most of us are vegetarians, and you know, I was like, what? Kind of crazy. Okay. Well, whatever. Anyway. So I think she's part of some cult or something like that, but she was cute. She's good looking and, you know, it was all good. We were from very different worlds. I mean, I think the only thing we really had in common is we were both from the Midwest, and we were both at, you know, a black college. But other than that, you know, I liked different kinds of music. I liked to shop at thrift stores, and, you know, we're just different. I wasn't, you know, we're just different people. Like, we're headed different places. I wasn't thinking about, she wanted to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And
okay. So one idea to give you, like, I believed in shopping at department stores and wearing nice clothes and everything. And just Chris had purple Converse, which was high top Converse.
Super cool.
Okay, super cool. But then the thrift store of shorts, okay? Yes. That are like size, I don't know, 50, you know, some man. And then he's got them like safety pinned on both sides to hold him up. I mean, I was just like, I don't even understand. I couldn't understand what I was seeing in him, except because the external that I loved, he was messing it up with the phone, but he was also, you know, there's just something about his heart that seemed really nice and really genuine. Although we were kind of challenging each other on things, on everything, you know, it was just, he was so different from the way I was. And I think I was so different from the way he was that it was like an opposites attract kind of chemistry going on. But it was wild. But
then the opposites repel each other.
Yes,
also.
They did.
So we broke up several times.
Yes.
Because I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
It's just I can't handle it. So that's 6 years was a lot of sort of back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then I went to graduate school and she went back to Chicago. And so we were separated, but, you know, just always kind of kept finding our way.
Just couldn't get away from each other.
Yes.
I
think.
You have those skills?
I think it was you.
No.
Yeah. So it was an interesting courtship because I think many people thought we wouldn't make it because there were so many highs and then the lows.
Yeah. I think even our parents. So I think our friends were kind of like, yeah, they should be together, but this is difficult. I think our parents were like, yeah, they've been together for a long time and we think they can do this. I think our friends were like, you know, our families are like younger people were definitely, you all need to do this. You all need
to
do this.
Yeah. So like my friend Andre, who brought us together, he would always say, man, she's a good woman. Like, that was the thing. She's a good woman. Because he's like, I dated thousands of women. And, you know, and he's like, I'm telling you, she's a good woman. And he's like, he dated everybody and went through all kinds of issues. Yeah. And he was like, man, I'm telling you, you got to hold on. She's good. She's good. And so I learned a lot. Like, I don't want to do what he was doing. Some of it looked like it was fun, but then I was like, no, there's always the next day. So.
Yes. So then, let's see. I'm trying to think.
Well, we finally decided, yes, okay, we're going to do this. And so we had a long distance relationship. So I went through a lot when I was in graduate school, just sort of a lot of personal sort of introspection, and went some things with my father's relationship that sort of took a different turn and for the better. And just learned a lot about myself and kind of grew up. And then realized that a lot of my behavior was influenced by the way I grew up, like the way I was raised and the things that I saw. Mm-hmm. So my parents didn't have to have a great marriage, and my father was not a great husband. And a lot of my ideas about how to treat women and how relationships were to be conducted were influenced by, you know, seeing him. And so when I realized, okay, I don't want to do that, so I need to do something different. And so, you know, Lord really began to speak to me like, okay, well, this is the thing. Like, I've put her here in your life, and she has stuck with you through so much that, you know what, wake up. This is it. And so, she was in Chicago. I was in Columbia, Missouri. We met in St. Louis one weekend and asked her to marry me.
And I nearly passed out. Like, whoa.
And it wasn't like the greatest, like, you know, romantic story at all.
But, to me.
But it was nice. I mean, a friend of mine in Columbia helped me find a ring. And I was in graduate school and I had much money. And so, you know, I guess the ring is pretty nice. It's not.
It sits on a shelf because it messes with my cooking.
Yeah. Don't want to lose it. She's done with it.
I'll wear it. It's really pretty.
Did you guys talk about marriage or being close to marriage before he proposed?
We had to, because it was about raising children. I love Chris and I loved Chris, and there was a time, I think, when I had this kind of turning point in my head where I was thinking, you know, I think I do want to be married, but I couldn't figure out how it was going to work because it was really important to me that our children were going to be raised Seventh-day Adventist. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't see how that could be guaranteed. But we had a conversation and Chris agreed and he said, yeah, we'll just raise them Seventh-day Adventist. And I thought, wow, okay.
Yeah, there was no resistance. I mean, I was Catholic, but I really wasn't a practicing Catholic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just more of a spiritual seeker. And I was like, that's the problem? That is not a problem at all. I don't care how you want to raise those. You know, so that's cool with me. So that was okay. It was like talking to our parents about a wedding. And so we couldn't at the time, because I wasn't Seventh-day Adventist, we couldn't get married in a Seventh-day Adventist church. And because she wasn't Catholic.
Really?
Yes, there was.
They're not marrying.
Yeah, those, I mean, back then. I don't
know. You know, the 80s was crazy.
So, you know.
And we couldn't get married in the Catholic church either.
No, because, well, I knew that part. Yeah. I just never heard. In my modern interpretation of the Adventist church,
probably depends on the pastor,
right?
You know. But, so, yeah. So we had to find a neutral site. And so we found this they found this Methodist church.
Okay.
The Baptist.
I think it was Baptist, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It didn't matter. It was a pretty church.
Yeah, it was a very beautiful church in Chicago. but then we also had to go through the sort of pre-marriage.
Mm-hmm. Counseling.
Counseling, yes, mm-hmm. yes. With the pastor at that church. And that was weird because like, we don't know you. We don't be a part of this tradition. He really didn't give us anything beneficial. So
it was a difficult situation.
We said walk through the
So we didn't have very much. We didn't have any premarital counseling. We were just like, I know. On paper, we should be talking to you from the divorce side. but I always say God like put his hands and out and said, let me just help these two fools out. Everything's going to be okay.
And it really was, because we both had a lot of baggage that we really hadn't dealt with beforehand, because it was just, there are other things that we had to deal with. And
So he had his daddy issues and I had my daddy issues. Right. And so his daddy issues caused him to do certain things. My daddy issues had like a rage inside of me. Mm. I could go from 0 to 100 in about 2 seconds. And so it was really, and just the anger that could come out of me at any point in time would be very extreme.
Yeah. So when I realized that, I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, I could not bring up her father without her, you know, just being, I mean, beyond upset. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, okay, well, we're not going to talk about that. And we're not going to talk about my dad. All right, that's fine. So, and then we moved here to Chattanooga after we got married, and suddenly we were together, and we hadn't been together for 3 years, really, like living in the same place. And so, and we sort of had to face what it's like to be married and, you know, coexist, and where it's not all just fun and hanging out. And so, so we really had to grow up together. Mm-hmm. And this is where I see the intervention of God in such a powerful way. Like my entire testimony is tied up in our marriage. If it hadn't been for our marriage, I don't know where I would be in terms of my relationship with God. And if I didn't have a relationship with God, I don't know where this marriage would be.
Right. Very true. I think while we're talking about all of this kind of seemingly dark stuff, I think what you don't get is that we are really compatible also. Like, we love books. We both love to read. We would sit and read like boring people, but we would sit and read books to each other. I mean, like, it's very sexy.
Very great. Yeah.
Anyway, but I mean, like, we both loved arcades, and we would just go and play. We both like nature. There are just all sorts of things that were pulling us together. Mm-hmm. It was just the other things that were going on in our lives that were causing us to clash and causing us to have troubles and struggles.
If it weren't for so much emotional baggage, I think we would have been great.
Is that not the story of everyone? But I do think there are a couple things that happened. One thing that happened to me was I had children. And I realized that if I didn't get some kind of control over that rage, it was going to destroy my family. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to give everything to God and talk to him about it. And then life just started to change. My anger was under control. I could forgive my father. I could forgive other people. It just started, the forgiveness in that started opening up such a great world for me. And so it just changed kind of the way that I looked at things slowly, not like overnight, but it did actually change things.
To back up just a little bit, what was the time frame in between you guys getting engaged to when you guys got married?
So it was about a year and a half.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So we got engaged, but I still need to finish up school. So I still had a semester left in school.
Oh, okay.
And then when I finished school, I moved back to Ohio. So I moved back with my mother. And then Devon was still in Chicago. So, because I needed to find a job. And so it took me about a year to find a job. And then I said, well, we can't get married until I get a job. So we were engaged for a year and a half.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And which was good time. I mean, it just took a long time to get married back in that time frame. It took a long mm-hmm. time to get wedding dresses, months, like 8 months it took for my wedding dress to get made. It was just,
oh, wow.
We got married in the dark ages where, you know, I had to go dig it up from.
With you guys getting engaged, was there any like outside influence from like friends or family either saying, oh yay, finally, or like, are you guys sure that you guys want to be headed toward marriage?
There was none of that for me, but I did have a friend who was married and having an affair.
Really?
Really.
As did I.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, that kind of stuff just messes with your head. It's, and somebody my age, you know, it wasn't even like 50-year-old people, you know, not that there's ever an excuse, but it was just, so it was kind of, you know, once again, this baggage from other situations and other people. And then you start looking and saying, can I do this? Can we do this? Because that's not something that I wanted to be a part of my life. I didn't want to go through that. You know, it's too much.
The only thing I had is somebody told me, look, right up until you say I do, you don't. So you don't have to go through with this.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's like, look, don't think just because you've made the arrangements and you've got the tuxedo and everybody's in town, you had to, and like, look, up until the moment you say you do, you don't. And I was like, wow. And then we knew somebody who did call off his wedding. Somebody really close to us.
Yeah.
Like what, 2 months beforehand.
Yeah.
And we're like, dang, we'd already bought the plane ticket. We're like, non-refundable. Come on,
man. Oh, absolutely. We're having a vacation, but like,
but it does, it's, you know, it makes your head swirl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing I was, you know, I thought about that, but then of course, you know, my best friend's there and he's like, look, this is the one I told you, man. This is the one.
But I do think that, you know, it's such a big deal. You know, you see the movies and you see people and everything, but there is a lot of work that is good and beautiful and wonderful that goes into being married. But I think the idea of, wow, it's kind of like you turn a corner and you really don't have any idea what it's going to be like to be married.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really walk into the great unknown.
You know what? I want to give your friend props for saying you don't until you do. Because I feel like a lot of people, like we've talked to dozens of people at this point about marriage. And while most of them are very happily married, there are a few that I wonder if they had gotten that advice where their story would have been. So.
Right. And I think what happens because it's marriage and because it's not just. It's difficult. You know, the marriage really is between two people, mm-hmm. but the wedding is between hundreds.
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
And the wedding costs a lot of money
mm-hmm.
for the couple and the parents, but it also costs a lot of money to go to a wedding.
It does.
You know, you've got to get mm-hmm. outfits. Mm-hmm. You've got to have the plane tickets. You've got to have food for the weekend. You know, you've got to buy gifts for bridal showers and all this stuff. So everybody's invested.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if when you ask, you're saying, I do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not true. But it mm-hmm. feels that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. But then once you're in, you know, you're in. So
that's right.
I love the way that they just turn around.
All right. You think I do. All right.
Baby. So you could get all in.
Yeah. You got to be all in. And I think for me, I had to, that was probably the biggest mental shift for me is to be all in, you know, not sort of looking, wondering what if, you know, none of that stuff, because I had seen so much of that. And it almost seemed like, well, that's what you do in marriage. but then realizing, no, not really. Not if you want to be successful, but you got to be here. And so that was part of sort of my struggle, was just to really be in, to really be committed. And so and then once our daughters came along, you know, that was the game changer, because like, I mean, they really are like, we have to be there for them.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, the idea of marriage is one thing, but then Chris is a grown man, you know, he's responsible for himself. I'm responsible for myself. But once we brought into the world children, we were responsible for them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it did change kind of like the look of the marriage, just because it's, you know, there was no, well, I can go my own way and you can go your own way. It's not that simple. We don't want anything to go our own way. Mm-hmm. With children, we have to be all in.
But, you know, also I think, but there's, you know, the responsibility for our girls, but also part of my mind shift was also, I have a responsibility. I am responsible for Devon. And, once I really began to understand that, and, you know, when I'm praying for commitment, then I'm also saying, look, I am responsible for this, my life partner. Like, I'm responsible for her happiness. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, no, I mean, like, other things can make her happy, but like, I cannot be the source of her unhappiness. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to make, like, everything I do needs to be geared towards her happiness and her safety and protection, which are part of that. And so we had, some good friends of ours who did a marriage seminar once, and the theme of it was cherishing your partner. And he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, that's it. Like, I have to cherish her. Like, I cherish, you know, anything that's mine, like that's here, mm-hmm. that's been placed in my hands. And so if I view my marriage as a responsibility to cherish my wife, then that will affect, you know, everything I do, all the choices I make. So, you know, so I don't really, you know, I'm gonna go hang out with guys all the time. So, you know, but a part of cherishing my wife is spending time with her. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, let's just hang out. And Devon, like, part of her love language,
that is my love language.
Her love language is just my being around. Yeah. Like, I don't even have to like be in the room, but just mm-hmm. in the house somewhere. She's like, you can just stay in a room and read and do whatever. I'm happy then. I was like, oh, really? Okay.
but you know, it's such a weird thing, because like, I don't need a present. Not for a birthday, Valentine's Day. Couldn't care less. Don't get me a present. I want my present every day. Your presence. That's what I want. You know, that's really important to me. And
Oh my gosh. Okay. So it was a challenge, because my mother is a present person. Like she give him presents. And so my father would give her a present, you know, for birthdays and anniversaries and stuff like that. He was just never around. Like, he was just always gone. And so this was the complete opposite. She was like, and so we decided before we got married that we would not give each other presents.
Oh, it was Ozzie Davis and Ruby D. That's right.
So we heard,
they didn't give presents.
Ozzie Davis and Ruby D. We heard an interview with them, and they said, we never give each other presents. And we're like, really?
Like, for, like, yeah, any, because, like, for yeah. anything?
No, I mean, it can be like random
thing. Yeah, I think it's like, not like
okay, a major, like, Christmas, birthday anniversary.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, but if I find something and I want you to have it, I've got it for you. And it's today. I'm not saving it for that special day or that special moment. It's today. It's now.
Right. But there's no pressure, like, oh, it's Christmas, I got to find something. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my friends hate me because they're all stressed out. Like, hey, what am I going to get my wife for Valentine's Day? I was like, man, I'm not buying anything. Like, what? I was like, nah, she doesn't want me to get her anything. And she's allergic to flowers. I can't do that. She doesn't wear jewelry. Can't do that. You know, so it's nice because I don't have to worry about doing all that stuff.
But on the flip side, it's very demanding, mm-hmm. because time is a big deal, especially mm-hmm. for a teacher and somebody who likes coffee shop culture and, you know, and going out and doing it. And I'm like, well, we need to be together because we can't take our two kids, you know, to coffee shop mm-hmm. and hang out. We're not going to do that. So we learned the give and the take. Mm-hmm. And I think we're so different, but we have rubbed off on each other. And so I think what has happened, I think I could say this, is that I have an admiration for the things about Chris that I don't have. And I think I could say that you might have an admiration for the things about me that you don't have.
Oh,
and yeah, so sure. what it's allowed us to do is give each other some space to be. So for instance, Chris has what I would call wanderlust. He loves travel. I love to travel too, but I can't travel like he does. He will travel anywhere in any way. He will go live on the side of a hill, a lean-to, in the cold,
yeah, just
with
the blanket,
yeah, with a sleeping bag. You know, I'm saying, and I'm like, huh, yeah. No, I'm not joining you on that one. You know, but I'm also. I understand that that's who he is. That's a part of what he values. And I want to not just, it's not just a thing where I say, okay, I accept that and I allow that. I mean, I value that for him. I want him to go and have those experiences. It's really important. And I think that that allows us to have a love that can be cherished and grown and not feel like, I guess, feel very free in a marriage because marriage is very tight. You know, you're together. You love each other. What you do affects, you know, what I do affects Chris. What he does affects me. There's no way around that. But to have the freedom to just still be an individual and have my husband appreciate that. And know that it's not negatively affecting him. I really like.
Yeah. And I also appreciate the fact she lets me go on my trips. So I just got back from India about a month ago.
And,
I was sleeping outside.
So I explained the conditions. Little, and she's like, no. Oh my God. And there are people like, you don't want to take your wife? Your wife's not going to go. I was like, no, she's not going to go. She's just not her thing. But, you know, it's okay for me to go. But and she loves to see the pictures and hear the stories.
I do. Some of the pictures. The pictures that look safe.
Yeah.
The ones that you can keep those.
Yeah, that's all right.
So when you guys got married, I did notice that you guys have different last names. Was there a reason that you didn't do the traditional taking of the man's last name?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So... My last name is Fouché, and in my family, just the Fouchés have like dwindled and almost disappeared. Right now, there are only three men who have that name. One is my brother, who has one son and is not having any more. And so, and then one is my cousin who just passed away, his one son. And it was, and there were lots of families, lots of people, just no children. And it was really important to me that I had that name. I just wanted to be able to say that I'm a Fouché and maybe find, and I did. There are people, I'd find people and I'd say, you know what? I have that last name. And we're all related. And it was just very valuable to me to keep that. And I was grateful that Chris didn't care.
Didn't care at all. In fact, I was like, your last name is a lot cooler than mine. So I think I should take your last name.
He did say that. And I said,
then we thought, no. She said, your family is not ready
for that. It's not ready for that. That's true. But now that I'm older, I wouldn't change it. What I think is that I think I almost feel like couples should make a new name.
Yes. Yes.
Not take the husband's name, not take the wife's name. You could blend it, but I mean, that would go on forever, right? Your grandchildren would have 17 last names. You know? That would be a lot. But I do think there's something about saying we're not your family. We're not my family. We're our family. And what are we building here? And I just don't think we talk about things like that and think about things like that.
Yeah,
but
and that's cool. I mean, yeah, we know we're married and we wear wedding rings. So
everybody knows we're married.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, but yeah, it's just one of those things. But I do think people still, even in 2023, kind of like,
interesting.
Why would you do that? And I was a homemaker, you know, so I think they're like, well, you're not a doctor, you know, you're not a lawyer, you know, you don't even earn any money. You don't need to have another last name. Okay.
It's like, first of all, I'm a domestic goddess. Watch your mouth.
Thank you.
Second of all, I have the cooler last name. My name is the one that is taken. I actually saw a TikTok about this this week, in which somebody was also saying, whoever has the cooler last name should be the name that gets carried on, regardless of the tradition. Because, I mean, that'd be cool, too.
It would be. And actually, when I was younger, I remember their parents who were getting married, and they were giving their children their own last names that, you know, had some powerful meaning or something. Just like you name your child a first name, they're giving their especially maybe not sons so much, but daughters, their own last names. Mm-hmm. And I think naming is just such a big deal that we might want to look at it differently.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Huh. I'm on for this change.
So I know you guys don't give gifts or do anything like that, but do you guys still celebrate the holidays or special days? Or acknowledge them?
We definitely acknowledge. We'll do something. We go out to eat, and sometimes we won't go out to eat. Just like, you know, we're really tired. And, I just feel like, just hanging out. Let's just chill. So we'll just do that. So we don't put any pressure on it. Yeah. But Yvonne is a big Christmas person. So the holiday season for her,
my birthday,
prolonged experience.
It is. So you have
we get all the holiday
stuff enough, you need. Never enough. But no, September 25th is my birthday. And that is officially the beginning of the Christmas season.
Oh,
so wow. 3 months. But three. Yes. But the thing is, I don't decorate starting in September. I start thinking about it because for me, you know, just thinking about what we're going to do and how we're going to give it and what things we're going to have and food we're going to eat and all that stuff is just a lot of fun. But the house does get decorated on Halloween.
Love that for you.
For Christmas. And then it can be taken down January 1st. I haven't had enough after 2 months, but if I don't get enough, I might be one of those people who has Christmas tree in April. So it's better to just start in November. Yes.
And that was a challenge for me because my mother was very much into the holidays. It was very festive, people in and out of the house. But it was just so much. It was just, it was fun, but then again, it was too much because I always had to keep the house clean.
There were some other things too. So I decorate. I don't ask the kids to do we have made lots of Christmas decorations and Christmas tree ornaments and everything like that. And so we dress the tree, but basically I do all the decorating. I don't ask them to do that.
It's my thing.
That's cool. It's your thing. And so it's not, and I take it down too. It's nobody's burden. It's nobody's big deal. And so I think, you know, to ask kids to be like, okay, it's Christmas time. Go put that stuff up. It's not the same if you don't make a party out of it.
Right. Yeah,
but part of my emotional baggage was the Christmas was such a big deal at home. And there was so many people in and out of the house and all that stuff. But like my parents weren't happy. And I saw this as it was just fake. I saw everybody's just sort of pretending. Nobody's dealing with the problem here. Somebody see the elephant in the room. You know? that kind of fatuousness was something that I associated with Christmas. And so Devon just loved it. And I was just like, oh, God, we have to like do this. And we talked and she explained why it meant so much to her.
Okay.
Like, oh, okay. I see. Like, this really means a lot to you because of the way you grew up and so what you can do and how you can sort of create this magic. And then, you know, once that was it, I was like, cool. Okay, I'm on board. I support it because, I mean, this really does feed your soul and it has come to feed my soul as well. So not to the same extent, no, but
he does enjoy it.
But I do enjoy it.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's so happy.
Yeah. And I think there's just like there's a settling in to marriage that I think has to happen. Mm-hmm. Just like a settling into anything. And if it doesn't happen, then I think there are extra challenges. But the settling in allows me to say, you know what? I get it. This doesn't excite you, but it does excite me. Can we make this exciting for me? Mm. You know, and so, or I get it. That doesn't excite, like, okay, Super Bowl, football, sports. Couldn't care less. Maybe Serena Williams playing, and she's not going to be playing anymore. Chris loves it. So when he's watching it, I'm all in. I will learn a few little things about it, you know, because why? Because he loves it. It makes him happy. I want him to be happy and I want to be happy with him.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, not so much.
Sit there and she'd, you know, read a book while I'm, you know, watching the game or something like that. And it sort of has diminished in importance for me because, well, my daughter, my older daughter is not here. Because she lives in California now. Mm-hmm. But so she loves sports. Like, she loves it more than I do.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, okay.
And so she's so when she was here, when she was growing up, I mean, the two of us, we were just.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
On that sofa, man, we watch it again. My younger daughter, oh, my goodness.
Movie.
Oh, yeah. She's not interested at all.
But like, I just want to be with Chris. Like, I just want to hang out with him. So if it's on a walk, just not that crazy travel, but anywhere else. Yes. Anywhere else. Yes.
So what is something that you guys have learned in your 29 years of marriage?
I have a few things.
Yeah.
One of the things I remember happened around 7 or 8 years into the marriage, we were at, an alumni, and gazillions of people around, lots of children, you know, and we were probably, you know, just as children kind of, I won't say they suck the life out because they don't, they bring so much, but it's no longer just the two of us. Mm-hmm. And they take so much. They bring a lot, but they take so much that it's really easy to get lost in that. And I think people who don't are people often who have lots of friends around who can take the kids, or they live near their parents, they've got relatives and everything. We didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So, and I was, as I said, I was at home. They were there all the time. And you can kind of lose that intimacy of just being a couple. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, you know what? None of these people matter. Not that, you know, we were at alumni. It was a good thing. They're all valuable, but none of these people matter. And we need to start, you know, just kind of like pretending when we are out together that it's just the two of us like it used to be. Mm. And I think that for me, that was a turning point that helped kind of bring us back and put a real good focus on the couple rather than just the family. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that I think is really important is I think about a committed marriage is like standing on one side of the world and your spouse is on the other side of the world. And all I can do really is push all sorts of joy and love and happiness and support and peace over the world, hoping that he will get it. And his job is to kind of like push that over to me. Mm. And so that, you know, it's not, while I'm not saying anyone should be abused, no one should be abused. Mm-mm. And so abuse is a whole other thing. But I think if you have a loving marriage with loving people, the focus has to be on me loving Chris, not on me trying to figure out how much Chris is loving me. Mm-hmm. On me caring for Chris, not on me focusing on how much Chris is caring for me. You know, trust Chris to take care of that. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is, when I was younger in the marriage, I think I always felt like I needed to bring every single issue that I had to Chris. Mm. And because, you know, I wanted a great marriage and I wanted to work everything out. Yeah, I don't feel that way anymore. I take every single issue that I have to God. Mm. And I only bring it to Chris if God says to bring it to Chris. And what I've learned is that God has a better way of talking to Chris than I do. Mm. So all I have to do is take that to God and God will fix it. Mm-hmm. And once again, I'm not talking about abuse. That's a whole other situation. I think that's really important too for marriage. Right. But when we're talking about two people who are loving each other and caring for each other and just going through the regular ups and downs and bumps of life. Mm-hmm. For me, I think the best way to speak to a spouse is to have the Holy Spirit speak to them. Mm-hmm. Send everything first through prayer.
It's mm-hmm. good. It's good. Wow. So many lessons. So many lessons. Well, the first thing is the cherishing thing. So that's important that a husband realizes you got to cherish your wife and she needs to know that she's cherished. Mm-hmm. And that's something you have to pray for every day. Secondly, and this is a,
can we say that that's not a natural thing?
Oh, is it?
When you get married or engaged, you love that spouse and you think, oh, they're the wonderful person and everything. But I mean, you haven't had them morning breath. You haven't been in the bathroom after it's funky. the real down and dirty. You haven't done their laundry. You haven't smelled their funky socks. You know,
that's why I tell people, I say, you know, and they, I say, look, I married a human being. Okay. And this is a human being who does everything human beings do. So you have to realize, like, I'm married to a human being. I'm not married to a picture of a model, you know, yes, you are going to be, and I tell Devon that too, you know, some days when she doesn't feel like particularly attractive.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's just a part of life, but that doesn't mean I don't love you. I mean, like, I still.
but I think the concept of cherishing isn't a natural thing. It's an immediate thing, but after a while, it's easy to let the love and the cherishing and the passion, everything wane. You mm-hmm. just have to really stay focused on it and remember that. That's what I deserve, and that's what mm-hmm. my partner deserves.
Right. Okay. So also I would say, so in addition to cherishing, just realize that marriage is sacrifice, and God mm-hmm. calls on us to sacrifice. And so mm-hmm. you know, if we take Jesus as our example, okay, ultimate sacrifice. Look, if Jesus did that, I can sacrifice, you know, not going to, you know, this particular event, or, you know, not getting my way, not being able to watch the game or whatever, you know, like that stuff is so meaningless, you know, ultimately when it comes to my relationship. And that's what I tell her too. She's like, are you sure you don't miss the game? Like, I didn't go to yoga today. Yeah. And she felt really bad because we were out at Costco and, you know, and she's like,
no, yoga is important to him. And I'm like, I want him to go to yoga.
And I was like, it's fine. It'll be here. I'm all right. But also another thing that is important is, and this is so basic, but kissing is so important. It's so important to kiss your partner, like every day. Like, you have to, like, if you don't kiss that person every day, there's a problem. There is a problem. And there's just something about, well, first of all, don't marry somebody you don't enjoy kissing. That's what it is.
I want to interrupt and say something. So, you know, on the surface, when I was talking about how I was physically attracted to Chris, that was my first thing. And I know it's horrible, you know, in many ways. People say, oh, you shouldn't be so shallow, et cetera, et cetera. And I totally agree, because you have to be in love with character. But honestly, if at the end of the day, you're not interested in jumping the bones of the person you're married to, that's a problem.
What was the point?
Well, because and it's kind of like, well, I think some people would say, well, no, you know, I get you. I get it, Janelle, what you're saying. It's not, what's the point? But I think the reality is everyone deserves to have a spouse who thinks that they are the most desirable person in the world.
And that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So like, no matter, it's like, look, I don't care how anybody else thinks I look. As long as in that person's eyes, I'm the best looking thing ever.
Right.
We're good. And like, and you show that by like intimacy.
Yeah.
It's just starting with kissing. And so you've got to kiss. And so, you know, we made a point of kissing each other every day.
Because it's hard to kiss. I mean, and when we're talking, we're not talking about bed kissing. We're talking about just greeting each other with a kiss. You look in the eyes, you can see what's going on. You can see the stress or the pain or whatever. It's a way to reconnect and kind of cut off from everything else that's going on.
Yeah. Because you can tell. You can tell, like, so, yeah, something's going on here. So I'm gonna kiss you. Now you let's talk. Let's find out what's going on. But there's a certain reassurance that comes from it.
Yeah, reminder that we're all in.
Yeah, still. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, those lips, come on.
Hey, you're both very beautiful people. So
no, you're too kind.
You are too kind.
We were a lot hotter when we were younger.
Yeah, we were. We used to be the hot couple. Now we look at them.
Look, if I'm as hot as you guys are at your age, I'd be very happy. So that's all I've got to say.
Oh, you're too cute.
It's the filter we have on.
So what has been the best part about marriage for you guys?
I think it's just the, I mean, for me, it's the way that Devon looks at me. I just feel good. And so, you know, I teach teenagers, and the way they look at me every day, I don't feel so good. And I think the way I look at them, like, are crazy. But I think, you know, whenever she, when she sees me, and so I was like, oh my goodness, yes. It was like the way, like, my girls when they were little used to look at me, like, be so happy when they came home. And they run and jump on my arms. And I was like, okay, yes, this is awesome. We appreciate it. We don't do that anymore. But because
they're so they're big, as tall as
they would knock me over. They don't really look at me that way. But yes, yeah, so there's something that's just so incredible about somebody loving you that much. And then you realize this person has invested her life in me. And so, and I've invested my life in her. And so, you know, that's just, I just feel like this is what it's all about.
For me, I think it's that Chris is my BFF. I have really good friends who I love and they love me, but I get to like live, they live away, you know, do you two live in the same? You live in the same area?
Yeah. Still?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful. But, you know, it may not be that way 10 years from now. And it's really, it's beautiful to have good friends. They're just a phone call away. We can see each other. But I get to live with my best friend. Like, he's the first person I want to tell about everything. You know, I'm like, oh, I got to tell Chris. This is going on. Oh, we got to do this. And it's just, I feel so blessed that God gave me this man. Mm-hmm. And I get up every morning and that's like the first thing that I say.
Thank the Lord for.
Yes, is for Chris and my children. And because not everybody gets to have this.
And I think, you know, I think as we, you know, at our age, you know, our mid 50s, so many of our friends didn't make it. I mean, so many of those marriages didn't make it.
And so many lives are gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so many people have died.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So many friends have died, yeah. But just to see, sort of see the fallout from that mm-hmm. and to think, oh my goodness, man. Or just to see what people are going through, mm-hmm. you know, our friends who are divorced. It just helps me cherish what we have even more.
And absolutely. So, you know, and we realized that that could have been us.
Yeah.
And people thought yeah. it was going to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's so many junctures where.
Right. Where it could have been
gone a different way. So.
And so, you know, you get into marriage and you get engaged and you get married and you don't know what's coming. But I think what I would say is give it your all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like really give it your all, because when it works and when it's good, there's nothing better but God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have enough to sustain you for when it's not so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, this is awesome. And I know it won't always be this awesome, but that'll just be a season.
It'll be better. And it'll be
better. Yes. And so, and we often say like, it's so much better now than it was.
It's the other part of it.
Like it just
gets better. It gets better and easier. And
yeah, it's, yeah, like you would think it just gets harder, but like, wait, no. Like we're in our 30s. This is so much harder.
It was with yeah, children
but,
and
yeah. It's so much. I mean, we just marvel sometimes. Like, man, this is nice. Easy. This is good.
You know, and it is. It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Chris and Devon, first of all, we want to say thank you so much for taking the time out to come and talk to us and let us into your lives a little bit. But before we let you guys go, we have one last question that we ask all of our guests. And that question is
marriage worth it?
Definitely. Absolutely. But you got to do it the right way. It's not enough just to get married. You got to do it the right way.
It's amazing. Yes,
but it's great. Yeah.
All righty. There you have it. It's a definitely if you do it the right way.
Yes. Again, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Is there anything that you would like to promote or share social media? Anything like that?
No, I was thinking about that. I don't have a product, a brand. I want to promote love. Just love other people.
Kindness.
Just do it.
Yeah, it goes a long mm-hmm. way. And the people who live with you are the ones who deserve it the most.
Yes.
We're dinosaurs.
Pay it forward.
Well, love and kindness are some of my favorite products.
Yeah, amen.
I agree. Yes.
You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Marriage Worth It. You can also email us at marriageworthit@gmail.com.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And this has been
Is Marriage Worth It?